Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. This morning, I am fortunate enough to have another good friend of mine from Jerseyville in Lauren Prenn. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
how are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Lauren, Lauren and I go not way back, but we go back a little bit.
We go way back.
You do?
I feel like I've known you for years.
Oh, good. We have known each other for years.
Yes.
Yes. Lauren, married to Jonathan Prenn.
Jonathan Prenn. I am his better half.
Yes, you are. You have a couple children.
Just a couple.
Tell us a little. Like, tell us a little bit about the kids.
Oh, they are the light of my life. I absolutely adore them.
Yes, boy and a girl. Got one each.
Yes, I've got Hayes, who will be 3 on Saturday, and Thea, who will be turning 1 in July. So, as Jonathan would say, we are in the trenches currently.
Yes, in the trenches. Gotta love it. Now, Lauren, we talk about your history a little bit. You know, you've been in Jerseyville for how many years?
Oh, gosh, a third of my life. That's what I always say. I moved here in 2011 on a whim. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Okay. but you're from California.
I am. So I was born and raised in Temecula, California. That's about an hour north of San Diego, 2 hours south of L.A.
Okay. What was life like growing up in California?
Beach. Every day, typical California lifestyle.
Beach every day?
Beach every day, yeah.
Was it the big waves coming in? Did you go surfing and stuff?
I grew up surfing, doing all of that.
How did you end up in Jerseyville? Well, we'll get into that later.
I ask myself that a lot.
Now you have, you've got some sisters?
I've got twin sisters. They both live in Montana currently, and one of them is moving back to Cincinnati, Ohio. So we're all spread out.
Now, I know you ended up marrying Jonathan, Jersey County boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how in the world did you guys get together?
This is my favorite story. So
well, it's good. Let's hear it.
You all get to hear it.
Favorite story.
So him and I were working at a ski resort in Mammoth, California, which is a couple hours south of San Francisco. So they have what they call poodle prom, which is for all the ski instructors. So I was dancing on a table and I saw this strapping young man in cowboy boots. And I was like, who is that? And the rest is history.
So... He worked there as well?
He did. So he was a snowboard instructor. I was a lift operator. So I was doing the more labor-intensive work there while he was just living his best life.
I see.
Snowboarding every day.
So what was your first date like? Was that your first date? Did it start that night?
So that was not the first date. It's a long, drawn-out story. So... we met that night at Poodle Prom, went our separate ways. We friended each other on Facebook, and he kind of Facebook stalked me for about a year, and then he saw...
A year?
Yeah, yeah. It was...
What's wrong with that boy?
And so he saw that I was going back up to Mammoth, and he... decided to hitch a ride with me, and I was going up with my girlfriends, and I said, no, this is a girl's trip, like, I don't know if they want you to come along. And he was like, please, I need someone to pick me up from the airport, I don't have a ride up to Mammoth. I was like, oh my gosh, this poor sorry boy.
he's got his ways, doesn't
yeah
he?
While he's like telling his mom in the background, mom, reschedule my flight so I can hitch a ride up to Mammoth with this girl.
Oh.
So we ended up picking him up from the airport, going up to Mammoth, and he asked me to go out on a date. And so we planned the date, and I brought along my best friend and 3 other guys, as any girl would do.
I've never been on a date like that. 3 other guys and your best friend.
Yeah, he wasn't real thrilled with me. I sat at one end of the booth. He sat at the other. And he was like telling the waitress, like, I'll get her check, as he's pointing across the table. But
And he did.
And he did.
And I guess you had another date where it was just the two of you?
Yeah. So at the time, I didn't realize that he was from Illinois. I guess we never discussed that.
Uh-huh.
And then he wrote me in and eventually asked me to move to Illinois with him. And I was like, oh, I could do Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, no, Jerseyville. So then I Google mapped Jerseyville.
Yeah.
And it was just green. I was like, what is all this green stuff? So that was my first impression of Jerseyville.
So you came to Jerseyville.
Yes.
With Jonathan.
With two suitcases and...
Then what'd you do when you landed in Jerseyville? Would you get a job somewhere?
So I worked at Josephine's. I waitressed there briefly, and then I got a job at Alton Wind Supply. I managed the showroom there for 6 or 7 years.
I see. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you end up getting in the real estate business next.
Yes. So we got married, and we had our son Hayes, and real estate was the best option for me to be able to contribute financially as well as stay at home with the kiddos.
Right. And Jonathan comes from a long line of real estate.
He is fourth generation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was right in his wheelhouse.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He was like, hey, we can do this. We can take over Jerseyville, Prane Properties.
There you go.
I'll do farms. You can do residential. So
you've been in the real estate business for a few years?
Since 21. Yeah, I got my license 3 weeks before I had our son Hayes. So, I mean, nothing like just jumping into everything at once.
You know, I took that real estate course years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I went every Tuesday night for like a semester.
Did you take it with Botterbush?
I did.
Stop. You did?
I did take it with Botterbush. A lot of stories with Botterbush.
Yes.
Nice guy.
Super nice guy. Yeah.
But I never did take the exam. I just did I took the course and I really enjoyed it,
uh-huh.
you know, and I learned a lot about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm like, I really don't have time to sell anyway. But
yeah.
I took it more as an educational class.
Oh, I think everybody needs to be educated in real estate because you hear a lot of things and we're so quick to believe what we hear as opposed to actually go out there and learn what, you know, the truth is.
Well, on that point, what did you experience in the real estate business that you didn't, oh, I didn't realize that. You know, what has happened? Or what have you come across? You go, I didn't know that was going to go on.
So, as I mentioned, I was in sales at Alton Wind Supply. And I, not to toot my own horn, but I was pretty good at it.
You,
so, I figured.
You could sell a lot of toilets?
I could sell a lot of toilets. I really hyped up those commodes. So, coming from that, I was like, a house can't be much different than a toilet. You just really got to sell it.
Yeah, and it should be easier.
Yeah, right?
Actually, it should be easier to sell a toilet.
Yeah. And that was not the case.
But regarding real estate, you didn't know anything about it per se. You know, you had to learn the business. But you look like a real estate lady.
You
got the look.
I always joke, if I dress like the girls from Selling Sunset, do you think I would sell more real estate around here? And Jonathan's like, absolutely not. Please do not do that.
How do they dress?
A little risque.
Oh.
A little risque.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, what's the hardest thing about selling real estate today?
It's definitely going to be the lack of inventory, the overabundance of agents. It's really cutthroat out there right now.
Mm. So as someone, nobody's selling. Everybody's holding on.
Everybody's holding on. They refinance, got those low interest rates, and they're not going anywhere.
No.
They are hunkered down.
So then it comes to if you want a new home, there's plenty of lots out there. You can build something.
Mm-hmm. That's always an option.
That's always an option. if you're married, that's a good way to get separated, building a house together.
That's the truth.
You guys bought an older home, a fixer-upper.
Oh, yes. Don't get me started on the fixer-upper.
Well, let's get started on it. So you lived in the fixer-upper while you were working on it or not?
Yes, we did it. So the house was built in 1900. It was vacant. It was bank owned for I don't know how many years, but our neighbors told us that they would see squirrels jump on the roof, climb through the roof because there was so much roof damage, and then come out of the window on the side of the house. So we bought a doozy, but we were young and that is what we could afford at the time. And we saw the end picture. We had the vision.
Right. Yeah, you had the vision and you just started working on it and getting things done. And
yes, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, many tears. I washed dishes in a soaking tub for probably 6 months.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And my favorite, one of my favorite things to tell people
is... They didn't do that in California.
Oh gosh, no, no. All of my girlfriends back home were like, what are you doing? But you know what? None of them own homes, so...
There you go. That's right.
I own a home.
And you've got just what you want.
Exactly. And we were able to rehab everything, do exactly what we wanted with it, so it's our little...
Yeah.
Project.
Now, I know you're in residential. Do you do any commercial at all? Touch on any commercial property?
I've dabbled with commercial. There's a lot that goes into it.
Oh, yeah.
So Jonathan's father, we call him the commercial cowboy. That was his bread and butter right there. So if I could just somehow take all of his knowledge and put it in my brain... I think I would be very successful at that.
Well, you've got the kids to raise. I mean, you're busy anyway.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Yes. But it does feel nice to contribute financially and have my own little thing going. And
do you you got real estate? I mean, you're selling real estate. Did you say you kind of do some social media?
I do. So I manage a couple social media accounts.
Is that kind of hard? Is that harder than it looks?
It's time consuming. That's for sure.
What's the trick to social media accounts? Because I know being a business owner, you know, and knowing older people that are in business, you know that social media is very important, but you just don't want to do it. You know, you want other people to do it for you.
Yeah. So with social media, it is funny watching like what people are interested in, seeing the likes and the engagement on certain posts as opposed to other posts that don't get any engagement. So that's kind of interesting, seeing what sparks people's interest.
Well, give me an example. What have you noticed? Somebody that's, let's say somebody is running their own social media account, right? What can you suggest to them as far as sparking some interest?
Reels. People love reels. They love to watch videos. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of doom scrolling, where you just keep scrolling on your phone because it's video after video after video, and it just sucks you in.
Explain reels. I know what reels are, but explain it for those that might not know. What is a reel?
It could be just a quick little 30-second video that grabs your attention, sucks you in, and before you know it, you have spent 2 hours on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be.
But isn't the idea of social media to sell something? How are you selling anything if they're just looking at little videos?
Because between those videos,
that's
when they throw in the ad.
Is that what you do?
Yes.
You do reels, and then you throw in ads?
I do ads for the pages that I manage.
How do you get reels from someplace else and put them in there and use other people's reels?
Anyone can make a reel. If you have a cell phone, you can make a reel.
I know. So you make your own reels?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I know Jenna. She's in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And she was over Mother's Day. Uh-huh. Right. And she sat there for 30 minutes creating. I go, what are you doing over there? Oh, making some reels.
Yep.
And she was, and I go, what is it? Let me see. And she showed me, you know, some things that she was doing.
Well, it also gives the opportunity for your audience or for potential clients to really get a view of who you are as a person. A lot of real estate is, you know, do you click with the people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I look at it is like, this is a fun and exciting process. You're buying a home. So let's have fun doing it. And do you want to buy a home with a Debbie Downer or a negative Nancy? No.
No.
So a reel is an opportunity for you to show who you are, your personality, and
So on your website that you have for mm-hmm. your real estate company, what's the name of it?
Prane Properties. Prane. With Taryn and Harmon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing reels, okay, as far as advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do reels of the kids, reels of your dogs, reels? What kind of reels are you doing?
A little bit of everything. So, like you mentioned, I'm more residential, whereas Jonathan's more farm, hunting property. So, with him, he's always posting hunting videos, pictures.
Oh, he does reels too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's
farming
doing reels.
Videos. Yeah. Reels are all the rage.
Okay.
I don't know what the next thing is going to be. I think reels is kind of where it's at.
Can you hire somebody to do reels for you, or do you got to do reels yourself?
You can hire someone to do reels for you. Yeah.
That's interesting. All right.
You just got to be savvy with your phone.
Savvy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Savvy Tech. I've heard of that place,
yes,
too. All right. So reels are in. Mm-hmm. And so.
But I'm more of a picture gal. I like pictures. I miss the old school Instagram where people would post their pictures. I'll go on listing appointments, and once in a while I'll bring the kids with me and just post a cute picture of the kids at the appointment with me, and people eat that up.
If you're selling a piece of real estate for me, okay, I want to advertise my house for sale.
Yeah.
Being from California, being kind of into reels, into social media, you could probably put together some good photos, some eye-catching photos. You could draw interest. Is that what you kind of, that's what you do?
Yeah. So that's a big part of selling real estate, is you have to grab people with those photos. If you're taking listing photos with your iPhone and it's, what am I trying to say? And they're not clear, sharp photos that really grab the consumer's interest. I mean, you have to think about how many people you're losing just because of photos.
I see. I got another question to ask you to kind of explain to the listeners a little bit.
Okay.
The do's and don'ts about Zillow. Explain Zillow. What is Zillow?
Oh, my gosh. Do not pay attention to the Zestimate. The Zestimate is wrong. Please, if you want to find out how much your house is worth, contact a real estate agent. They will be able to put together a market analysis for you and tell you how much your home is worth. Do not look at the Zestimate.
What's the Zestimate?
That's Zillow's guess of how much your house is worth.
And they guess it?
They guess it.
They don't even show up?
No.
What do they do? How do they guess it?
Based on what's going on in the market.
All right. And what they, now somebody sees something that they like on Zillow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that work? I just know that they, if they press Zillow, what happens?
What do you mean?
I just thought that with Jenna, I know she uses a lot of Zillow. You don't use Zillow? As far as like people will see something they like, they see it on Zillow, they press it. And then what I understand is it alternates going to real estate people that are involved in Zillow.
So how that works is you pay Zillow and Zillow will supply leads for you. So if the consumer is interested in a particular house and they don't have a broker or someone to represent them, Zillow will
contact that broker for you, or contact whoever's whoever's hooked up with Zillow.
Yeah, whoever's paying for those leads.
Okay. But you have no connection with Zillow. You're on your own.
I don't do Zillow leads. No.
Okay. No.
Which that's going back to not being born and raised here. That's been tricky with trying to navigate getting that network.
I see. Okay. Well, Lauren, anything you'd like to add to this interview? Because we've ran out of time. So any last things that you want to get out there to the listeners about you or about real estate or California, anything?
If you see my signs around town, I'm the area code 951 real estate broker. Don't let the area code scare you. I've been here since 2011, and I haven't gotten around to changing my area code. I'm working on it. My husband says I need to do it.
Well, no, I say leave it 951 because then they can know you're the realtor from California.
Exactly. Yes. I need to come up with a catchy slogan.
Right. So what's your number?
Area code 951-326-0329. Your local California broker.
Well, thanks so much, Lauren. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one.